Welcome to the Living in Lithuania podcast. Join me, Austė, in conversation with internationals who have found themselves living here in Lithuania. To keep the conversation going, let's connect on the Living in Lithuania Facebook or Instagram pages, where you can also find out about the latest episodes and more. Oh, hi, Godsman, all the way from Kaunas.
Hi.
So happy that you arrived
Thank you.
In the snow. You made it.
Yep.
So, how was the trip here?
Yeah, it was long and slimy, if that's the word to use.
Yeah. I'm really happy that you came down. I need to interview more people from outside of Vilnius, and it's so nice that you're here. You can represent.
Kaunas people.
Yeah. So actually, it's winter. There's lots of snow, and you're just back from your summer. You're from Nigeria, and you were there. Yeah. How was that like, and what was it like coming back to winter?
It was summer in December. I mean, I've been here, and December has always been very, I don't want to say rough, but very cold.
Uh-huh.
I mean, compared to where I came from.
Yeah.
Even the year they said, or Lithuanian said, oh, there's nothing. It's just, this is not the worst. This is no winter. There's no winter this year. I'm like, no, this is strange for me. The worst or the coldest temperature I had ever been in was about, I'd say 20 or 18 degrees. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 20 or 18 degrees. And I came here and it was 7 degrees. Came close to September.
Uh-huh.
And it was 7 degrees. I think the first thing I did was I ran back into the airport. I was like, what is this?
What is this feeling?
Yeah, what is this feeling? And since then, it's been a couple of winters. And then I went to Nigeria in December.
Mm-hmm.
It was, oh my God, I went without the winter jacket because I only needed to, you know, run from Vilnius airport into the aircraft.
Yeah.
And I know I've escaped winter for a while.
Just sprint.
So, it was good. It was highlight. Every evening I go out and there's like live band outdoor, rooftop, open air, and they're just playing music and you're sitting down there with friends, talking, laughing, having drinks with just a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. And then you come back here and 20 layers.
Yeah, no, the first shock is you come back here and 4:30, it's dark. It was good summer.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. I always feel like it's a good time to escape a little bit.
I told myself I would not waste my summer going to a summer location.
Mm-hmm.
So I never wanted to plan any trip there in summer. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be during the winter.
Okay, yeah, so that's good. It balances out a little bit.
Yep.
Get some sunshine and everything. So let's go back a little bit, and what brought you first to Lithuania? What made you move here?
Beautiful people.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, I mean, the story goes like this. I was like, I have this best friend, we're very close for a while, and then we were walking in Nigeria together,
mm-hmm.
and one day we said, we need to get international experience.
Okay.
Like, it would be nice to start looking for jobs outside Nigeria. Let's walk outside the country and see. And then he started applying because he was much more ready than I was.
Uh-huh.
And then I sent him, I was also looking out for him. And then I see a job, I sent it to him. He was in Berlin, he got the job,
Ooh.
He moved to Berlin.
Nice.
But we're still in communication. And then one day, randomly, he sent me a link. Say, hey, check out this opportunity in Lithuania.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly speaking, that was the first time I heard about Lithuania.
Yes.
I feel the name would have crossed by on one occasion or the other, but I had never paid attention
mm-hmm.
to the country. But I knew Estonia, actually. Mm-hmm. So when I saw, oh, Lithuania is close to Estonia, I said, okay, I know Estonia. I knew someone that
mm-hmm.
worked in Estonia or currently works in Estonia. And then I checked out a couple of companies. I was like, oh, wait, this is actually a very nice place.
Uh-huh.
It started looking interesting. I saw all the influx of tech companies in Lithuania at that time. And it was interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the next thing was, how do I convince my family to understand I'm going to a nice place, yeah. Because they'll be like, oh, where is that?
Yeah.
So then I watched a lot of YouTube videos. Well, that was my basic introduction to Lithuania. Mm-hmm. I applied for the job. I got into the program and got the job with a wonderful company, which I would like to say, Telesoftex.
Yeah, yeah.
Very nice place to work. And that was how I moved here. But I had to convince my family first. I like doing this. I like messing up with their head. And I go to my mom and I don't tell her anything. Uh-huh. I'd already gone far in the process before I even told them anything. And I show her some videos. Like, I just discovered, wow, look at this awesome place I discovered. That I'm sure you don't know about them. I was like, yeah, I don't know about them. And she starts, wow, it's a nice place. Uh-huh. And she starts liking it. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, that's a really nice place. Mm-hmm. Usually when you come through with some hard news, straight up, mm-hmm. people have this tendency to push back. Uh-huh. I'm like, no, 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 no. But when you try to soften the ground,
You
look at the ground. And then I messed up with her head. And she was like, it's a nice place. She's always the source, the entrance to my dad. So, uh-huh. And then I said, yeah, I actually got an offer here. And they want me to move over to work from there. Mm-hmm. And she took a break. She was like, already she has confessed it's a nice place. Like, wow, mm-hmm. such a small country, doing well for themselves. Yeah. They know what they're doing and it looks very safe. She had already confessed that. And then I tell her this and she's like, okay, after all this, her confessions, you can't just say, I don't know this place. Yeah, I don't think I wanted to go and all that. Well, at the end of the day, we talked about it. She knew. She's like, yeah, you've done your research. You know what you want. And she was fine with it. And I mean, once you convince the mom, you've almost convinced the dad and uh-huh. the family. It's not like they were going to stop me from going. It's just mm-hmm. I wanted everyone to be happy about the movement mm-hmm. and comfortable and feel safe where they are. Because if they don't think I'm safe somewhere or mm-hmm. in the right place, they would not feel all right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my journey to Lithuania. And then I moved here in September 2019.
Okay.
To the cold.
To the cold. Yeah, you should have come in the summer to have like the bit of a...
That was the plan, but then we had some delays. The plan was to come in like August, mm-hmm. but then there was some slight delays mm-hmm. and had to come in the winter, I mean, the cold period.
Okay, oh, nice. And when you saw this, like what kind of opportunity was it? Was it just like job postings online or was it like a program that you went through?
No, it was a program mm-hmm. and there was a Digital Explorers program and they wanted to hire a couple of talents from Nigeria mm-hmm. and bring them to Lithuania. They wanted to explore like, oh, talent from Nigeria, let's see what we can do and there are opportunities currently in the country. The tech space is blowing up so fast. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I applied for the program with a couple of people from Nigeria. So I actually moved here with about 12 people from Nigeria.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, so you had your own little community already coming in.
Yeah, we had a
in.
Little community. That was very helpful, actually. Yeah. Had a little community moving here in the first place.
Yeah, so did you like try to work out things together, like how to
find
a place to stay and everything?
Initially, yeah, I wanted to stay alone. I've always been someone who wants to stay alone from time. So a lot of people, I mean, coupled together to live as flatmates. Mm-hmm. But I stayed alone. I got an apartment for myself. But then we were all together. We were all friends. We were holding, like, house parties together mm-hmm. because we were basically the people we just knew ourselves here.
Yeah.
And yes, we had some buddies that, like, people they assigned to us to help us
mm-hmm.
know the area. So we're very together then, I would say that. But then when people start understanding the nooks and crannies of the city, then everyone starts...
Yeah.
And then you're calling, hey man, where are you? It's like, I'm in Czech Republic with my friend. I'm like, oh wow. People just start dispersing on their own to different places. But that initial time, we still meet up till mm-hmm. today. We still have the gathering, but it was a very good introduction into the city.
Of course, yeah. It's nice to come with other people and so it's not such a big of a shock. You know, you already have somebody to talk to and friends already. And then, yeah, like you say, you find the things to do that's more in line with your interests.
I kind of remember a lot of those moments when I first came. Mm-hmm. And till today, what I feel now a lot is I go to a place and I see this place, I'm like, oh, I remember this place. I came here maybe my first few weeks, and I had absolutely no idea where this place was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just take the Google map and take the bus. Yeah. So I have no idea what area this is, if I am in this part of the city or not. So it's recently I just go to a place and like, oh, I was here. I remember I was here very early, but I had no idea this place was even this close to my current apartment now. So everything is looking very familiar, and I kind of see the differences between when I first came here and I was clueless about everywhere and now. But it's been great so far.
Cool. And what was your first like impression of Kaunas?
Cold. First, outside. I mean, okay, I fell in love with Kaunas first. I'm sorry if there'll be any Kaunas Vilnius supporter here, but yeah, I know there is always this war between Kaunas Vilnius. I fell in love with Kaunas at first because that was actually the first city. I got to Vilnius. I stayed only one night in Vilnius before I went to Kaunas. That was the first city I was introduced to. I was moving around and I liked the city. It was kind of, how do I call it, serene. It was not much people there. There was almost no traffic. I knew a lot of places. I was cycling around lots of parks, and yeah, it was good for me. I like that kind of environment. It's like living in a city where you don't have to go through the stress of living in a city. There is this stress that comes with living in a city, which is congestion, noise, parking space, and I don't know, some kind of pollution also. But then it was a small city. So I really did like that bit of Kaunas. But recently, I've been coming to Vilnius a lot. Technically every week. I come to Vilnius and I'm starting to have a mind shift. Nothing changes about Kaunas right now. It's just maybe I'm up for something else, a different kind of experience. And maybe I want more noise or more crowd now. Maybe I'm too comfortable in my small crowd. And I want like more people and see random faces. Because I found out something. I just walk in Vilnius on the street and I hear people speaking English. I nod my head. I'm like, I understand what someone said. At least I can hear some gossip. Well, that's a very strange thing that happens when you move somewhere. You don't get any gossip from anywhere.
You need to know what's happening.
Yeah, you hear people ranting, you make, you know, it's just interesting to know what people are saying.
Okay, so what brings you to Vilnius to come every week?
First, it was football. I played, I love to play football. It's like my best hobby or sport. So I was playing football a lot in Kaunas. We played during the summer a lot. But then I think the football team or the guys I play with became very unserious and they don't play regularly. And I really need that regular football to play it. But then there is this team in Vilnius that plays religiously every week. So, and I just tell them, hey, I'm coming. I just tell them whatever day I'm coming. I mean, whatever week I'm coming. Now I'm trying to make it one every other week. So they play football a lot and it's nice. We rent, we spend a lot of money to play this football. I have to drive over 100 kilometers here just to play football. Sometimes I come by 8. I leave by 8. I get here at 9:15-ish. We start playing at 9:30 in the night. And now that it's very cold, we got an indoor pitch where we rent and we just play there.
Oh, nice. Where is it?
That's the thing. I don't.
You don't know? No idea.
I would not know it, but I think the address is something like Azulina something.
Okay, that tells me nothing either. So.
Yeah, I have no idea where it is.
Google Maps knows.
Yeah, I just use Google Maps straight up, and I get there. So that's what one brings me to Vilnius a lot. So it's really nice. And also, towards the end of last year, quite some of my friends, Nigerian friends from Kaunas, moved to Vilnius. So we're hosting a lot of meetups in Vilnius. And I wanted to, you know, come along. And we also have these Afro parties. And yeah, they host it in Vilnius. Almost every month. So I came for a couple of those also.
Who organizes those?
Sorry?
Who organizes parties?
It's afrobond.lt.
Okay, so it's like a community.
Yeah, it's a community. You can follow them on Instagram. They post all the updates there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really like a lot of people that come there. So when you come there, it's a mix of, it's not just, they call it African party, but it's not just meant for Africans.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a mix of different people that you meet there. I've met quite a lot of people there from different places and not just from Africa also that come for it there.
Okay, so, nice. Yeah. Need to check it out.
Oh yeah, you should.
sounds like fun. What usually happens? They're kind of different.
It's a lot of African music.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have some waist pain the next day because we have very physical dance, where you have so. You technically need to learn how to dance, make these moves. It's not just a situation where you move your body to the beat. People have dances and the names of the dance.
Okay.
I'm terrible at dancing.
Okay, okay. So I can't learn from you. So.
No. I mean, I'm terrible, very terrible. Uh-huh. A lot of African music and dance. Then they have, sometimes now they invite a dance group,
mm-hmm.
like that performs for a couple of minutes.
Oh, nice.
I think they have one very soon. Yeah, this is like PR for them.
Yeah.
Right? I think they have one on the 12th of February. And they're having this DJ from Poland or somewhere else coming in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, cool.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah, we'll put a link.
Yeah.
So people can check it out. I think it's wonderful to find out about all of these events that are happening because you just don't know how to find them out unless you know someone who knows.
For real. It's nice.
Okay, so football, African parties.
And music.
Of course, Vilnius looks great.
Yes.
You come here to party.
And music also. Mm-hmm. So I also like music.
Yeah.
I like a lot of things. So
yeah.
I also love music. So I come to Vilnius to actually play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with a friend.
Yes, with Adelia. Yeah,
with Adelia.
Hi, Adelia. I play with her as well. So, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. How long have you been playing for? And have you been in any bands or anything?
I think my music journey started a long time ago. I'm not a professional in any way. Because when I tell people how long I've been playing mm-hmm. instruments, I think I'm like one very professional. I think I just love music and I appreciate it very much.
Mm-hmm.
So I started playing the drum when I was very young, maybe 7 or 8 years
mm-hmm.
old. And then next thing, my parents, I wanted to play the piano and then they got me like a toy keyboard.
Okay.
It's a very small one. And then I started playing that like I was 10,
mm-hmm.
10 years. And then I learned a lot of these things myself. No school, no training, no teacher or anything.
Okay.
I just love music and I just pick it up and I figure out how to make different sounds and make music from it. Oh, I think the first one I learned was the recorder, the flute. That one day, we were doing it in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it then. So I started playing all those. And then I fell in love with the guitar again.
Mm.
Then I learned the guitar, learned the bass guitar. And then I went to high school and I joined the school band. And I was playing the drum, but then they had trumpets and nobody could play it. And I was like, I could just learn it. And that's how I learned how to play the trumpet.
Why not? Yeah.
Why not? I just liked the new adventure. I was like, I couldn't play the drums already. Someone else take it.
Uh-huh.
And then nobody could play the trumpet. And I told them, give me this thing for 2 weeks and I would learn how to play it.
Wow.
Yeah, the problem is I learned badly. I learned the wrong way because I don't have any teacher actually mm-hmm. showing me, hey, you don't hold it like this. I just use my senses to make sounds and know when it sounds good.
Uh-huh.
So eventually I went to, at least since I really liked the bass guitar, I went to seek professional help and mm-hmm. I got a tutor for a while, not for long, and he really corrected a lot of bad things I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a tutor and he taught me how to do some things well and I just picked it up from there. It's just a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something I plan to go mainstream on.
Yeah.
It's just nice. I just like it, playing with a group of people, just making music,
mm-hmm.
making good sounds.
That's amazing. Yeah, actually, like, recently I've been meeting so many people who are starting to play and kind of trying to, like, collect everyone in a little bit because, you know, with Adelia, we were, like, jamming as well. And because I love to sing. I'm not really great at playing. I play a little bit of guitar, also taught myself, probably completely incorrectly. But I play a little. And then I have some friends. And actually, last weekend with Adelia and another friend, Andrus, we were like, he has kind of mini, kind of like a studio in his like a basement. Like just a lot of his flatmates also play instruments. So they have all the instruments.
Wow.
and yeah, we played, we were jamming, and then we're like, oh, let's try to record something. We recorded something, then we created a bit of a song. So
what?
So yeah.
Okay, I'm in for the next one.
Yes. So we can invite you, and actually invite the last guest I had with the episode that came out today, Dale. He's also told me that he also plays like bass and like some other instruments. I'm like, okay, well, we have this kind of group, you know. Now we just, you know, that day, maybe not everybody can come on one day, but maybe some people can. Maybe another day, other people can. And we can just, you know, play. And it's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, if someone plays the bass, I would sing. I love singing.
Oh, also. Nice.
I didn't say I have a nice voice. I just like singing. Singing is basically dragging your sentences.
Mm.
I can do that.
Okay. Okay.
You know, but I actually do like singing very well.
Nice. Okay. Wonderful. So, yeah, like, really, really happy about, and actually I probably will have a new flatmate who plays piano, but she's also, I think, mostly self-taught, so she doesn't know technique, but she can also just feel the music and just compose,
me.
You know?
That's technically me.
Yeah.
I had less of technique, but it's self-taught, it's just improvisation most times.
Yeah, and she was saying, like, oh, we should organize kind of, like, weekend workshop where we just, you know, go somewhere and create and then maybe, like, record after.
Oh, my
like
God. So, awesome.
So, yeah, I'm gathering all these ideas, like, okay, we have to do this. Have to do this. And, yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah, and how did you meet Adelia? Like,
that's true. The date is very close. I mean, it was 14th of February, 2020. That was this
Valentine's Day.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's, it didn't go exactly that way. But
yeah.
We went for this event. It was a tech meetup in Vilnius.
Okay.
And I came there. I was there and I saw her there. I think she was sitting behind me. And I was like, hey, hi.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then anytime I meet a Lithuanian, I try to, you know, practice my Lithuanian skills.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, Lavas. And I was like, hi. And then we just started talking from there and exchanged contacts. And we just kept talking since then.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, she helps me now also get people by the podcast. So it's great. Wonderful person. Yeah, so are you quite active in this like tech community, like going to different events, IT things? No?
No.
Not really.
No. I've been doing IT for a while, I feel I need to balance out in other areas. I'm not very geeky or nerdy. I really do like to go out and have other things. So I think work is enough for IT for me at the moment. So once I finish from work, I have this no laptop policy on weekends.
Okay.
Close the laptops and don't touch them till Monday morning.
Okay.
And nice when you work in a place that doesn't, I mean, stress you to have to work weekends or extra hours. So weekends it's for music, football, cycling, every other activity you can think about.
That's good. It's good to have this like work-life balance, you know?
Yeah, but some people like very active, they want to go for a show, talks and events, and it's nice, but I think I have so many interests that if I try to fit that in, I would have basically no time for myself.
It's important to find the balance that works for you, for sure. Yeah. So, what other kind of? Actually, I wanted to ask you because not so many people from Kaunas on the podcast still. What are your favorite places in Kaunas? Do you have like places to hang out or to see?
I think one of my favorite places. I think two of them. I really like the observation decks in Kaunas. I think we have two of them in Kaunas. There's one in Alexotas. It's like very high where in the night you just kind of see the whole city and all the lights and everything. It's really nice there. Then we have one in, sorry, I'm going to mess the name up. It's, I think it's Milkonis or Milikonis, but somewhere.
Okay.
Anyone in Konas would know what I'm talking about right now.
Yeah.
So we have one there, and it's really nice. Just go there and sit there and just look at the world. You feel like a mini god.
Okay.
It's fresh air, staying there. So it's nice. I love those places. I also like cycling, and most times I have this path. I cycle through the forest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very nice trip to go. Just close to the river. I like that cycling close by the riverside. There's this along Neris River. Has quite a long path. You can go almost 20 kilometers. I think almost about 16 kilometers along the river. So it's like a very nice spot to cycle in the summer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Have you been on any like longer cycling trips around the country?
Oh, yeah. Cycle to Nida.
Oh, okay. From Konas?
From Konas.
Oh, wow.
Cycle from Konas to Nida. That was this year. No, sorry, last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just a bunch of crazy guys.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, let's cycle and let's go to Nida. And I have never gone that far before.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, I had done 60 kilometers in a day.
Yeah.
And then they're like, let's go to Nida. And I'm like, how many kilometers? Say about over 200.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I'll try. And then these guys are all pro cyclists. They have been doing this. I think they do this as a tradition every year.
Uh-huh.
And then we start cycling. Yeah, it was good at the beginning, you know, first 20, 40 kilometers. Awesome. Then we get to 60. And I'm like, okay, this is getting very disturbing and stressful. But see, for me, I'm going to finish this trip even if I die on this the road. That was my mindset. I was like, I'm going to finish this thing.
Uh-huh.
80. I'm like, I tell guys, you know what? Just go. Just don't worry about me. I will meet you there.
Oh my God.
I'm like, just go. I was slowing them down a lot.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, they went ahead and I was just motivating myself by myself.
Oh my God.
My own. You know, I looked for different things to motivate myself. At some point, I look at the next signpost and I tell myself, see that signpost? That's the destination.
Uh-huh.
Just if you can make it to that signpost, then you're done. You've made it.
Yeah.
Make it to the signpost. I look for the next, maybe that tree there. That's the destination. So it was crazy. The first day was not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
I finished the first day. It was the next day because we had to camp somewhere and continue the next day. It was the next day that was like, that was it. But I finished it and I was really happy I finished all of it. I completed it, got to Nida. And I mean, worst part of the trip was when we had to cross the river through the ferry. I don't like water that much.
Okay.
And I had to cross the river and we got to Nida. And then the next day, these guys come and say, you want to go to Klaipeda? Another 70 kilometers? I'm like, no, that's it.
I'm done.
Like, I'm done. I just want to enjoy this city. It's a beautiful city. Go by the seaside and chill and hang my bike and go back to Konas on the bus.
Uh-huh.
So they kept on going the next day. That was not the plan. The plan was to Nida. And they get to Nida, they're feeling so energetic. And they're like, let's go to Klaipeda.
Just a warm-up to get
just,
here.
Like, just go to Klaipeda. I'm like, it's not just for me. This is all I have.
Uh-huh.
But no, I enjoyed. I stayed in Nida. I'd never been to Nida before. I really wanted to, like, just go around the city. So I stayed back in Nida, went around, got to the Russian border.
Yeah.
Took a sneak. I took some pictures. Before I realized they wrote no pictures.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
What have you done? They're going to confiscate your camera, smash it in front of you.
Oh, yeah. It was nice. Just stayed around Nida. Rented a scooter and just moved around Nida. And towards evening, I took the bus back to Konas.
Nice. Actually, when I was little, we were hiking with my parents, just like in the dunes. And we accidentally crossed the border because there were no fences. There were no signs, like maybe small signs, but we just accidentally crossed and then we got escorted out by a guard. They found us. And luckily, you know, nothing bad happened. And I was maybe 5 years old, but I still remember this, like walking in the dunes with my parents, like, whoops.
Oh, wow. That's...
Snuck into Russia a little bit.
Oh, no. I was scared at that point. I was with a friend and we were there together and I was telling him, he's very adventurous also. He likes adventure. He was like, let's go. I don't want to go closer. I don't want to know what will happen. Can we just stay from afar and let's sniff Russia from here? That's enough for us. Uh-huh. And he keeps like, let's drive closer. I'm like, see, this is the border. People are there. Literally, there were soldiers on the other side. Mm-hmm. So it's not like an empty place.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, let's go. I'm done. But it was just nice going around.
Yeah.
We did not know that the border was closed. We just saw a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, let's go there.
Mm-hmm.
And we just went to that place.
Yeah, but Nida is so nice. Like, yeah. I love going there in the summer. So calm, peaceful, and just beautiful, really nice nature.
Mainly, I want to go there again, like, for a proper, chill trip.
Mm-hmm.
My trip there was with a lot of pain in my ass. Technically pain in the ass.
Yeah.
After my 2 days trip. So it wasn't that comfortable. I barely could even sit at the beach because I could barely sit down.
Oh, ouch.
But it was good exercise. Eventually.
Yeah, it's very popular to, you know, take the bike from Klaipėda and just go there. Like, yeah. I did that once with friends. And for me, that was already, like, enough. And I lived in Klaipėda for 6 months back a few years ago. So, yeah, I was, like, cycling, well, to Smiltynė and sometimes to Juodkrantė and back. And
oh, that's nice.
It's great. It's so beautiful.
There. Yeah, that's nice. I enjoyed the trip. Something I want to do. Maybe this year I'll find like another location to go. Another thing I was doing was also kayaking. That I had never done that before I got here. So I actually met some very wonderful Lithuanian friends from football in Kaunas. So we play football and then a lot of us are hanging out together.
Mm-hmm.
And we just organized like cycling trips. And then there was this occasion where we had like this kayaking trip for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Kayaked, I think it was Ula. The river was Ula, yeah. Yes. I think that's very... It's not the best introduction to kayaking.
Yeah, it's already quite, like, a bit intermediate. There's lots of turns and...
Yeah, lots of turns. And then the next day was Merikis.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So that's, like, went from... And that was, like, my first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice, the camping. And then the next day, Merikis. And I and my friend, we kind of missed the stop. And we went further.
Okay.
This was the like most difficult 10 minutes of my life because we had to... Merikis is a bit deep. I mean, it has a lot of current going down. So we had to paddle against the tide.
Okay.
We really had to paddle against the tide. And we can't even stop because if you stop, you keep going back.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that 10 minutes was long. We felt we were paddling for an hour, but it was literally like 10 or 15 minutes. But it was good fun. Mm-hmm. And both of us, none of us could swim.
Okay.
None of us couldn't swim. We got to a point where we got like hooked on a very big stone and it was like we're going to fall. I said, Kennedy, see, there's just one job we need to do here. This boat must not turn over. we have a couple of very funny videos where we crashed into the water.
Okay.
It was really fun. It was serious then, but now that I watch the videos, I laugh. But then it was like hanging onto a branch.
Survive.
It was survival then. I'm like, why do I like doing these kind of things to myself?
Good, you're adventurous, you know. It's very popular in the summer in Lithuania to go kayaking. I think that's one of the most popular routes, this Ula Merkis. I've done it quite a few times as well, and I have flipped over in the past. It's also an experience.
No, I don't flip again. I mean, I can say this out there that I'm a pro now, and I kayak with so much speed right now. So I went on another kayaking trip, and it was like, I just compete. I go for competition. I want to compete with people. I tell people, see, I sometimes prefer someone who doesn't even do any work.
Uh-huh.
And I tell the person, hey, don't worry, don't do anything. And I tell my opponent, you guys, do you want to race me, trust me? They're uh-huh. like, what? You're the only person, we're going to boop your ass. I'm like, let's go.
Oh, okay.
And then it's like, oh, okay, he's really fast. They start, you know, using a little energy and they see how fast I move. But now I really love kayaking. I probably want to sign up for some competition or something.
Oh, nice.
I don't know, something just with my arms. Maybe I have superpower on my arms. I didn't know about. So.
Nice.
Maybe one day I'll spider web.
maybe.
Becoming a superhero. Uh-huh. Wait, it's good.
Yeah. Makes sense. I think spiders are also afraid of water. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's the funny thing till now. I can't swim till now. I tried learning. I signed up for a school, went for the first class. I was too scared of going for the next class. And I was scared and I fell sick. And then the lockdown happened.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the end of the dream for swimming. All the classes. And then, of course, when he opened, I had lost the motivation.
Mm. Yeah. Well, someday. Well, if you want
to
compete in kayaking, you might need to learn at some point.
It's getting extremely necessary right now because I really do like to try a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not very scared of water. I'm only scared when I'm in a situation where I'm not really in control. Like, I'm in a ferry and it's dancing around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
Okay.
But then I would try I would go on kayaking because I feel I'm in control. Or I went wakeboarding.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Without knowing how to swim. And I crashed right in the middle of the water. Yeah, they dragged me out. Well, I can't give up those fun. It's just so much fun. I really want to experience it. And not swimming is just a very big limitation for me.
Yeah,
so eventually.
Sure. Have you tried windsurfing?
No.
Not windsurfing. Or kite surfing?
No, I've not tried that one. Do you have less chances of crashing?
Well, I mean, kitesurfing, you're on the board. You're just in the water with a
Oh, very thing. Safe. Yeah, that one is very safe. I mean, you would barely fall or flip over.
Yeah, unless there's very strong wind, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You're not controlling it. But yeah, that's quite popular in Lithuania by the seaside. A lot of people are doing it, yeah. One of my friends actually came back. She's a bit crazy about it now. Like, I think a lot of people, once they get hooked on it, like, they love it so much. So she... Because she can work remotely, so she was working in the Canary Islands for a month and just, you know, like, went and doing this kitesurfing. And then she came in the summer to Palanga. I think she stayed in Palanga for 1 month and was just working from there. And then just, you know, every day going. And there's, like, a nice community of people, you know, so you can meet and they help you as well. So, yeah, if you want to try it, it's like there are opportunities to try those things in Lithuania as well.
Oh, that's really nice. I would love to try it. I have a couple of things I would want to try eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But first, swimming lessons are very essential.
Yeah. You might want to start with those.
Yeah, swimming lessons are very essential. But it's good.
Mm. So what about, like, I'm sure there are many differences between Lithuania and Nigeria, but what are some things that you noticed, like, apart from the weather, of course?
I mean, in the people or the environment...
Both. You can start with people. And...
I think I would start from one that is, it's still fresh in my heart because I just came from Nigeria again. So I lived in Nigeria. I've been driving in Nigeria since like 12 years ago for a very long time. And it was just, it's okay. For me, it was okay. And then I come here and I start driving here and everyone's nice on the road. I mean, literally everyone is nice on the road, which, I mean, it shouldn't be termed as nice. It's just how things should be, right? Nobody is in a hurry or rushing somewhere that he wouldn't just wait for you to, I mean, just get into his front.
Mm-hmm.
Or he sees you coming from the corner of your house and he just waits, doesn't have to get too close to the next car.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, this is bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to Nigeria in December
and...
I'm driving and people are, you're driving on the road and you start trafficking and you start putting your point to the right.
Mm-hmm.
You see the guy at the back speeding so fast, you don't talk to his front. Why? And people are cursing me for being slow or letting people come into my front, come in front of me. I'm like, oh wow, this is really stressful.
Mm.
I was stressed a lot, especially, let me not classify the whole of Nigeria to be like this, but Lagos, it's not even the capital, but it's a very big city.
Mm-hmm.
And especially Lagos, driving in Lagos, was the difference was just so much. People just obey a lot of traffic laws here,
mm-hmm.
and just very calm driving, mm-hmm. obey speed limits, stay on their lane. They're not trying to switch lanes during traffic, during traffic jam. But then I go to Lagos and it's just, sorry, it's madness. I'm sorry. That's what it is. It's madness. It's like everyone is rushing somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to be somewhere. Of course, there's traffic in Lagos, a lot of traffic in Lagos. I worked in Lagos and I spent 2 hours plus to get to my workplace, driving to my workplace. So that's a big difference. It's a big city. It's about 20 million people there. So I came here and there's no traffic and I see Lithuanians complaining of like 5 cars on the traffic line. They call it traffic. I'm like, what? What is this?
You don't know.
You don't know. No, this is not traffic. I love whatever you have here. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that part. And I saw that people are really very, I think, generous when it comes to driving. People just stay. When I started driving, I wasn't really, there were quite some rules on the road. I had to get used to driving here also, but it wasn't so hard because nobody is putting pressure on me.
Mm-hmm.
People are just patient and calm about it. So it was easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I noticed also one of the differences is in Nigeria, people are willing to help you so fast. It's just, we just want to help you for no reason.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You would not. Yes, security issues would not let you help a random person in the middle of the night, standing on the road, yes, for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I used to do this trick back in Nigeria, then I get pulled over by the police, and then I just ask him for directions.
Oh.
And he just forgets that he's meant to check my registration or whatever, license or whatever, and they're all interested in making sure you get to your destination. Just ask any Nigerian direction. Even if he doesn't know the direction, he's going to ask someone for you. It's so crazy. I mean, I've done this. I was in a bus. I was so sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
I was going home. I knew my stop because that's my house stop. And I was so sleepy and I didn't want to pass the stop.
Yeah.
I just told my seat partner. I said, hey, do you know this place?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, yes, I know it. Don't worry. I'll tell you when we get there. And I slept. That was all I needed to sleep. By the time we were getting there, he woke me up, said, this is the place. You have to come down here.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, thank you very much. That was like divine. I enjoyed my ride. There was traffic on the road and I didn't want to keep my eye open.
Oh.
I was really sleepy. So I just asked him. Yeah. I felt like I did not know where I'm going. Trust me, we are very interested in lost people.
Okay.
So I also had an experience when I went home recently, which I was like, oh, wow. I think I love these people also. It's very warm people, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving somewhere and it was pretty late. It was 12 a.m. I stopped at the gas station to get some gas. And I don't know what happened to the car. I might have left the lights on or something, but the battery went down.
Mm-hmm.
And right at the gas station, I couldn't start the car again.
Mm.
So I called my friend. I was like, hey, I'm just going to park the car at the gas station and take a taxi to you. But then some guy just comes up and I'm like, what's the problem? I said, it looks like the battery. This guy goes to his car, pulls out his battery, the stress of taking out your battery, and asks me, hey, do you have a jump start? I said, I don't have that. Pulls out his battery, brings his battery, swaps it, starts my vehicle, puts my battery back, takes his battery back. And I'm like, you want some money? He's like, no, I'm good. I just want to help. I'm like, oh, wow, thank you very much.
Okay.
I mean, it's normal for him there, but he doesn't understand that it's different here. A lot of people mind their business here.
Mm-hmm.
It's people walking fast to the destination. I used to have this joke. I said, when I first came here, I feel like people just program their destination. Before they go out, they like press a button on where they're going.
Yeah.
And they walk fast. Just walk fast towards that place.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I eventually understood that. First, in winter, which is when I came, it's cold.
Yeah.
So you really want to walk fast.
Yes, you do.
And get to where you're going very fast.
Uh-huh.
You want to really get fast.
You gotta, not let your arms fall off.
No, yeah, definitely. So yeah, that's understandable. But it's just the relationship where people are a lot more involved in people back in Nigeria is pretty different from here. Yeah, you really need to learn how to. If you're very, I mean, if you're a foreigner and you move here and you're very extroverted and your happiness is gained off from people being around you, you might really struggle unless you find other foreigners, because a lot of people, most times, you have to learn how to be with yourself first, stay on your own. Yes, you meet friends, but it's not that you are having parties every, I don't know, maybe teenagers do it. It's easier for a teenager who grew up here to have racked up a lot of clique or friends and they can do that. But you just move in here and you don't have that. You don't even know people. It's very hard for you to do that. So yeah, I noticed it's different. Relating with people is quite different. Much more straightforward, straight to the point. At work, everybody keeps it very businessy. Just straight to business. I lived in an apartment. I did not know any of my neighbors for like 7-8 months.
Okay.
So I'm wondering, I mean, do people live here? Someone actually live there.
Yeah, and I never saw them. Like,
nope.
Okay.
It's like they come out, come back. I just hear sometimes when the TV is on from the other apartment. But that's it. My neighbor never, I mean, it's only once one of my neighbor has buzzed me to like, hey, could you help me open the door from down? So it was quite different. So it's a story of my friend. We all moved here together, and then he moves to his apartment, and he's like, hey, I want to say hi to the neighbors. I'm like, I don't think that is a tradition here. I mean, it's our kind of our tradition. You move into a flat with someone else. I mean, someone else lives in the next flat. You want to greet and say hi, how are you doing, and fraternize with the person. But like, I'm pretty sure that's how it, because I mean, usually they would want to say hi to the new people. When someone moves in new, you, the old person, won't say, but if they have not come to say hi to you, then I don't think it works that way exactly here. Maybe it works in some places, but it's not very, I don't think it's that common. Like, we make it like a tradition. A lot of people just do it.
Yeah, I don't think it's super common. Like, you meet when, like, there's a need.
Yes,
you know,
there's a need.
And then you meet and they're like, oh, we should have met before. Like, this is so good, you know, but like, unless there's that, like, it's not very often. But some people do, and I think it's wonderful to meet your neighbors.
It's nice to at least say hi to your neighbors. I kind of have adapted to that. I don't think I want, like, the whole world coming to my house and every time coming there. So maybe I like it.
Yeah, like more privacy.
More privacy. I mean, sometimes you stretch the boundaries also. We do stretch the boundaries. But it was normal to us. Someone can show up in your house on a Sunday afternoon. Like, when I mean show up unannounced. And it was so normal to us. It was like, hey, let me go visit my friend. You don't even call him. You just get to his door, like, damn. And you ring the bell, and he opens, you're like, hey, what's up? And you can just go. It's quite some differences, though.
All right. So the question I ask everyone is what living in Lithuania is for them in 3 words.
The first word I want to say is chill. And the chill technically means chill the weather. And it's pretty chill. It's like calm, chill. And second word, I don't know the next word to use, but it's more like, I'd say cost effective for me. That's one word.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cost effective. I mean, even though things are going up now, big difference. And then the last one would be, for me, I would say, this is the first country I've lived in outside Nigeria. So I'll just say something new. New in a good way. It's just something new for me. So, but yeah, it's really calm. Chill, cost effective, very cost effective. I mean, it's very cost effective.
I guess you work in IT and salaries are good, and you're very wanted profession here.
I mean, I some months ago, I had this very nice offer to move to Germany, and I literally did the math with the cost. Of course, it's bigger salary in Germany, but then I did the math with, okay, I would want to live in this city, this is the rent. At the end of the day, I almost had the same, after all the expenses, because I have a friend who lives in Berlin who I did this with to just calculate everything. Though the salary was like way bigger, it was almost the same thing. And funny enough, I said, I told myself that instead of making this move, I could just work towards earning the salary here in Lithuania. And unfortunately, it's happening very soon. A lot of companies are starting to offer that equivalent. And I'm like, so why do I want to move to Berlin? Especially when you know, people want to go and party and have fun and all that. But I don't know. I'm not really cut out for all this kind of fun. So it's, I felt like it was just okay to just be here, at least for now.
Yeah. You can always fly to Berlin.
Yeah. Easy peasy.
It's like cheap flights there.
Yep, very cheap flights there. So.
Awesome. Okay, well, thank you so much for being on. It was really great to have this conversation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. For more conversations like this one, subscribe to the podcast or let's connect on the Living in Lithuania Facebook or Instagram pages. If you enjoyed listening, please consider supporting the podcast on Contribee. All supporters are added to a private community and invited to join meetups and events. If you or anyone you know would like to be on the podcast, feel free to get in touch. Until next time.